Welcome back to the Ivermectin Podcast. If you're a horse with worms, you've come to the right podcast. I'm one half of the Broio Podcast. So stupid. I'm the delicious Nickalicious.
And I'm the one that puts the meaty and mediocre. I'm Rob Dog. Hey, everybody.
Riding around the block with the Glock. Yo ass fixing to get shot.
That's a grenade launcher.
It's a grenade launcher. We got a really fun episode planned for you guys. It's called Urban Legends. So what this is...
exactly what it sounds like.
Episode 7 of the Broio Podcast. We did Urban Legends / Urban Legend Games. So those are the games, like you do the stand in the bathroom, say Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. And the bitch shows up. Mm-hmm. All kinds of stuff like that. But I don't think... and the catalog is nearing 300 episodes now, I think.
Yeah, probably pushing it, I would say.
So going back, 1, 5, 2, yep, it's got to be around 300, 350, I don't know. I don't think we've ever done a strictly Urban Legends episode. So this is just a few urban legends from around the world. It was a holiday weekend, not much time to do any deep, deep research. I did stumble upon a really cool murder live love triangle.
Hell yeah.
That I'm starting to do some research on with a super crazy characters in it. And I think that that's going to be a really good episode. So
cool.
We are going to give you guys an Urban Legends episode in the meantime. I would like to say, if you missed out on the Battlefield of Love episode that we released on Friday,
mm-hmm.
go back and check that out. Some people are saying that it's the funniest episode ever.
Yeah, it's. I'll take it.
I don't know if it was the funniest one ever. It felt funny recording it.
There was definitely some funny parts, I would say. I dare say.
Just to set the mood, we usually get naked for that episode. I mean, it was the first time.
It was the first one, yeah.
But traditionally, we get naked for it.
Yeah.
And by traditionally, I mean we've started a tradition. And if you go back and listen to it, we desperately need your Battlefield of Love stories. So you can send them to us, brohiopodcast@gmail.com, whatever it is. Questions about love, stories about love. If you need us to commentate something for you, whatever you need that's love-related, we've got the advice. We're certified love gurus. And by certified, I mean we don't have erectile dysfunction.
But we can certified in our own minds.
Certified Gs. Certified thugs. First up, we have a new Patreon subscriber by the name of David Rumbles. David Rumbles, thank you for your Patreon pledge.
And next we got Andrew Wolf. Thank you, Wolf.
Not just a pog or not just a fat ass white girl. Thank you, not just a pog.
Hey.
That's a fun word. Look, go to Pornhub and type in pog and tell me what comes back.
Good research there. Jordan Herrera. Thank you very much, Jordan.
Josiah. What a peaceful name. Josiah sounds like the kind of person that would just bring peace.
He builds barns in his spare time.
He carves soap.
He just whittles stuff out of sticks.
This Harley out of soap. Smash one.
Next we got Ronald McDonald.
All right.
R. McDonald. Right. Thank you, sir.
Julian Madera. Julian, thank you for the Patreon pledge. I truly do respect you, and I would like to suck on your feet.
Billy Boswell. Thank you very much, Billy.
Selena Shimami.
Shimami.
Selena Shimami. This is not the dead Selena from TV. This is a live one. So
okay.
This is different. But yeah, thank you, Shimami.
Mel P. Thank you very much.
Don't pee, Mel. I'll just Daniel Van Sloan? Is that a...
Man.
Sloan? Daniel Van Sloan? Slong. That's what people ask me when I'm drunk. Like, what's your last name? Slong. Just make a sound. That's just a sound. That's not a name.
It really isn't. Yeah, I've never heard that before. Dylan Emery. Thank you very much.
Oh, Dylan Emery. Now we have Bella Ellis. Thank you, Bella Ellis.
And last but not least, we got Eric Thompson. Thank you very much, Thompson.
Oh, yeah. So if you would like to be featured on the Patreon readouts, go to patreon.com/... Brohio Podcast. Now we have the Brohio Battlefield of Love. Let's see if we can get some sensual, sexual music going for you guys. Let's go sexy copy. We got to do copyright.
Definitely got to do that.
Free. We still get flagged for it. It doesn't matter. No copyright, sensual seduction. Let's go with that one. Let's fast forward it. Okay, what do you think of that, Rob?
Sure.
It's heavy. Is that trap music?
Close enough.
I don't even know what trap music is. I know people get shot listening to trap music.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
That's because the fucking trap. If you're listening to trap music, there's a good chance you're going to get caught in a trap.
It's a booby trap.
Sign me up. Sign me up for the booby trap. Okay, we have a couple Battlefield of Love submissions here. This first one is from Phil McCock. I have an issue with dating these days. It seems that most females watch the adult films that I performed in then want to try it out for themselves. My thing is, yes, sex is fun, but what happened to good old relationships? Should I stick to the single sex adventures, or what should I do? Very interesting right there. So what this fellow's trying to tell us, Phil McCock, he is a pornography star. And I think the most something really common to do these days is to look up the person you're dating. I feel like that's a good practice to kind of do a little miniature background check on someone before you go on a date with them.
Yeah.
Make sure they're not going to fuck your skinless skull on the back of their couch or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Unless you're into it.
Yeah. Unless you're into that. There's people that'll do that for you, too.
Sure is.
And Phil McCock, he's a big old pornography star. And what's he going to do? All these women, they're trying to eat him up and want his yum-yum sauce, but he wants a relationship. Okay. He's not just a big dick. He's not just Wood. He's not just Mr. Wood.
Yeah, Mr. Wood.
Sitting at the end of his cot there with his big penis, penisillo, Penisaurus Rex. That's my favorite. Penisaurus Rex. So what should he do?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a hard question because it depends on what you want in your life. If you're happy with just being a dick with a person attached to it, hey, live that life, my friend.
What I would do is I would just propose within the first 20 minutes. It's not too clingy.
Yeah.
Clingy would be within the first 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Give it about 20 minutes. Let them know you're a Sagittarius or a Virgin, whatever.
Virgin.
And then, yeah, a Virgo. And then propose. And let them know that you mean well, that you mean right. And see if that works out for you.
Yeah. If not, I mean, if you're tired of just being used for your wiener, just cut it off.
Yeah, well, let him catch you peeing sitting down. That's another thing.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of doesn't... This plays into a different psychology, but it will work. I'm not going to explain it. Let it happen, and then you report back, because it will work.
Sure.
This goes for all you guys out there. Let your woman catch you peeing sitting down one time. Let me know what happens, okay?
Please.
Send us an email. We'll read it.
Yeah. Oh, is it my turn?
Yeah, it's this one right here. It's kind of a long one.
Okay, cool. Oh, you can use the person's full name.
Yeah.
Thank you, Justin Casey Bloom.
Bloomy.
What's up, boys? I wanted to write in about a regretful wank experience I've been through, and I need your advice on it. We've all been there scrolling through
Hold on. Justin Casey Bloomy. Justin Casey Bloomy. I don't think that's his real name at all. You got us.
Okay, I got it. I didn't even get that. Look at you. Let's see here. We've all been there scrolling through Pornhub trying to find something new and exciting to get us through the day. Mid-boner, I stumble across a video of an Addams Family orgy. I'm talking Uncle Fester going to Pound Town on Wednesday as Morticia is getting the double stuff from Gomez and Pugsley.
Send that link.
Please, let's just say it got the job done, and at the time, I was only slightly ashamed. My real concern is that I couldn't get enough and continued to watch the video a few more times in pursuing days. I don't understand why, even after going through post-stroke distress, how I continue to make the same mistake over and over and over again. Thanks, guys. I hope to get the bottom of this.
So we traditionally refer to this as post-nut
clarity,
but I do like your post-stroke distress.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound like there's much clarity for him. It sounds like it just stays foggy.
Post-stroke distress sounds like you're really upset about what you jerked off to. Not a little bit. You are really upset about what you beat off to.
And it doesn't like we use post-nut clarity, it doesn't give you that sense of finality after you're done. Like clarity means that you're done with it once you're done.
Yeah, distress means
you're struggling.
You're warring over it for a few days.
Yeah, you're struggling with it.
Let me tell you something bust inside me, Justin. You got nothing to be ashamed of, buddy. There's guys out there beating their fucking meat, the cartoons, a Family Guy fucking Sesame Street.
That's true.
You just get a little Adam's Family cosplay. Some guys are really into that cosplay stuff. They like when the lady dresses up like Tomb Raider and comes in and obliterates their butthole like it's the fucking Kingdom Skull Hearts there or whatever. They like that stuff.
I can dig that.
Yeah. I just want somebody to treat my butt like a skull.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, you have nothing to be worried about, Justin Blue Inside Me.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at
just
all.
Just keep jerking off to Pugsley.
Make it nastier next time. I want you to step your game up, actually. I want you to jerk off to something you're really ashamed to. Ashamed
yeah,
to
like,
jerk off to.
Like Tiger King porn.
Yeah, like a cereal commercial. Whatever.
Hemorrhoid ointment.
Yeah.
Commercial.
Dear Nikki Dickie and Throbby Robbie. Ooh, I like those names.
I do too.
I have a weird situation on hand. So I have a lover who loves the deep stroke and poke and one drunken dark night. I'm sorry. My cousin just texted me and said he can't hear us over the music. All right, well, at least my family's listening, so we'll turn the music
down. Is that loud? I can barely hear it.
I got turned way down on our end. Oh, there we go. Let's see if that's any better.
Someone said, oh, there's music playing? Loud as fuck. Sorry, guys, we can barely hear it on our end, sorry.
Dear Nikki Dickie and Throbby Robbie, I have a weird situation on hand. So I have a lover who loves the deep stroke and poke, and one drunken dark night, we are going at it like shitty kitties in heat. And I feel like we're being watched, but like the selfish lover I am, I just kept going. As I walk her to her car afterwards, she confides in me that my uncle was watching us from the doorway.
Hell yeah.
I had an uncle like that. I think about it. And I laugh and I think, oh, that sad, lonely perv. I tell her he'll fist his ass for her honor. She leaves. I stay out front smoking a good old after sex cigar, and suddenly my uncle drives up. I ask if he's barely getting home, and he says he got drunk at a friend's house and spent the night. Then I remember him texting me that he was not coming home. This house I live in is old as fuck, and everyone in my family knows it's super haunted and active and has always been the source of many ghost stories. But I do tell the girl that it wasn't my pervy uncle. It was just the ghost who always unlocks the door that just decided to watch us instead of scaring us. I've been avoiding her text for days now, fearful she will ask if I confronted my uncle. Love, Frank, the septic tank.
Wow.
That's pretty spicy.
Yeah, that's a... a pervy ghost.
I don't fuck with ghosts.
Nah.
I don't think they're real.
I think I would have put on a show for it, though.
Yeah. I
would have reached for the high five.
I want to be part of their club whenever it comes time for them to pick teams, when it's my turn to be picked. I'd be like, we want that nasty fucker. He'll watch anything.
Yeah, you just sub in the ghost.
Yeah. Hey, take this one for me. Bad night. I got a headache. I think you should definitely tell her that your house is haunted.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
And that you have crabs, because I remember an earlier email you told you had crabs.
Yeah, just be like, funny story.
I think I...
Unky wasn't here.
Yeah. Or you can just...
But the ghost was.
Yeah, really, really distract her. Do some scat play.
That always works.
Shit on her. Get her mind off of the uncle and the ghost.
Yeah.
Or, this is even better yet, you can tell her that your uncle is dead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So then she automatically thinks that, okay, there's no pervy uncle.
But there is a ghost.
There is a ghost.
You're not lying. There is a ghost.
Two birds, one stone.
Really, you are lying because you're saying your uncle's dead. But
it could be another uncle. Just don't.
Everybody has a dead uncle.
Yeah. It's true.
Or as I like to call them, dunkles.
Dunkles.
Dead uncle.
Dead uncles. Oh, man. This is already a trashy one. Jesus. All right, so this is the Urban Legends episode. Like I said, we've got a conglomerate of urban legend stories to bring to you guys. Lots of stuff from the road, over the seas, all kinds of urban legends. Do you recall any specific urban legends from when you were a child that just would scare the shit out of you? I do.
Now, besides the one story that I told about the women in the, or the family that lived in the woods that used to cut little boys' wieners off.
Oh, okay.
Don't you remember I told you that? I think I did.
No.
Yeah, it was with Taco.
Oh, okay. Cut people's wieners off.
Yeah, man.
I think they got me.
It was like the scary house back in the woods, and nobody used to go back there because everybody used to say, all the neighborhood boys just say that it was like a witch's house, and they'd cut your wiener off and hang it on a clothesline outside.
Oh, that would be embarrassing for a lot of people.
And we swore one time we walked back there and saw a clothesline full of wieners.
You know, we got a clothesline wiener in our mailbox one time. I don't know who sent it. This is probably 2 years ago.
But, yeah.
It was when we first got our P.O. box. It was one of the very first things that we got. And I opened up the box. Well, I got the box and I read it. And it had come through customs.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes they open it up and then they put a tag on it, says what it is, so you can go through customs or whatever.
Sure.
And it said, movie prop dismembered penis. I was like, God damn, what's this? And I kind of cracked the box a little bit, expecting the worst. I was expecting like a Ziploc bag full of pubic hair or something like that. Which we've gotten that too as well, so that's pretty cool. But all I could see was like bloody skin. And I said, oh no, somebody sent us a dick for real. Like, somebody fucked us up with a dick. And I opened it the rest of the way, and it was a rubber. It was a pretty average size. Well, pretty...
It was respectable.
Below average penis. Not a small penis, but it looked like if you saw a guy with this size penis, you'd be like, hey, man, he got a little dick, but he can still get it done. You know what I mean? And it looked like it had been dismembered from the body, but then it had a weird, like, Hills Have Eyes rope around it. You could wear the dick around.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And I used to wear it around work, and people didn't like it. It made them uncomfortable. I got fired from that job, and they never really said why, who, what was going on, just something about making people uncomfortable. But that, without that stepping stone in my life. I wouldn't be here right now.
Can't go within 600 feet of the place, but it's okay.
I fucking hate that place anyways. Never got the rubber dick back either.
Man.
Still in the locker.
I was wondering where it was at.
Yeah. But, yeah, the one that really creeped me out as a kid, there was always, and I've talked about this before, there was always, let's say, in a 5 to 7 year old range, there was an urban legend, there was a dude in the parking lots. And he would lay under your car with a knife or a box cutter.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd slice your Achilles when you're walking up and just watch you fall to the ground. And then he would fuck you. I mean, I don't know that was part of the story.
Uh-huh.
But I do remember that there was a rumor that he would slice your ankles. And I used to make my mom, I remember once it was kind of rainy and snowy out. And this is right at the height of the ankle slicing, right at the height of the fear. Okay. And I told my mom, I said, I think there's somebody under the car.
Yeah.
We were at Kroger leaving. The Kroger in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
And she was mad because I made her get down on the ground and look for this fucking dude under the car. Because I was freaking out, man. I was worried about this. But my mom, you know, being the sweetheart that she was, she got down the ground. I had to help her clumsy ass up because it was raining and snowing and shit. She wasn't very graceful. But nonetheless, she looked under the car for me, under her cougar, her Mercury Cougar. And there was no one under there trying to kill me. I was fat. I would have been a good kill for somebody. I was a chunky dunker.
Yeah.
I was wearing my Mighty Duck shirt. Probably had my fucking Biker Mice from Mars boots on, snow boots.
Just yogurt stain on your shirt.
Yeah, sweatpants with piss stains on the front of it. Ready to beat the shit out of somebody. Don't get it twisted. I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
But if that dude would have showed up with that blade, I was willing to lay on it for my mom. I'd have beat the fuck out of him.
I don't remember what movie I saw. This isn't an urban legend, but I remember seeing a movie whenever I was younger. And I don't remember which one. I've seen it on a bunch of them, but I always had an irrational fear going with that, kind of related to what you said, that there was always some sort of a killer clung onto the bottom of the car while it was driving.
Yeah.
And like we were like at the grocery store and they just like hung on the exhaust underneath the car and just rode with us to the house.
That's scary stuff, man.
Dude, it's terrifying.
In Ghostbusters 2, the pink slime reaches up.
Yeah.
Turns into like a fucking arm in the bathtub. Well, at my mom and dad's house, there's a piece of tile that had fell out below where the water comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a black hole in the shower and you could see through. It just went through to the other wall. It was just a... You know, it went into the studs, into the wall, but it was a dark hole, and cold air would just blow out of it. There I am. I already got a really small sausage.
I would have hid like fruit snacks and shit in it.
it just went to the abyss. It went to nowhere.
Yeah, it just went to the bottom of the floor.
But dude, closing my eyes to wash my hair with that hole in front of my crotch, I was always afraid that pink slime was going to come out and grab me right in the penis. It never did. Something grabbed me on the penis while I was in there. Never figured it out. I think it was my little brother, though. He doesn't listen to the podcast. He fucking hates my guts. Can't defend himself. It's all right.
Oh, that's a good one. Someone on YouTube said, ours was the flashing your headlights, and then it was a gang initiation.
Yeah.
Looking for people with their flashing headlights.
That was another big one.
Yeah, that was a huge one.
I didn't want to be in no MS-13s or some shit like
man.
That. I wasn't built for the streets. I was built for the buffets. So keep that in mind anytime you try to recruit me for your gangs. We've had a lot of guys from the Hells Angels reach out to me, tell me that I'm not fit for their fucking shit and stuff ever since the Lou Velozzi episode.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Got a lot of people who like that episode, but apparently I got some one percenters. They don't like my tone.
Yeah, whatever. You ain't getting in, doggy.
Not getting in. I'll buy him a beer, though. You know, I'd love to have a Hell's Angel on the show. Still working on that. Pretty close, actually, to getting somebody on with the conversation is open. Let's put it that way. That'd be cool, though.
That'd be cool.
Doesn't want to use his name.
Do you think, since there's a Hell's Angels, do you think there's like a Heaven's Demons?
I'm sure there is something, some type of equivalent.
Do you think they like feud?
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like they would have to.
They would absolutely have to.
But they're like the complete out. They look like just a bunch of like Jehovah's Witnesses. They're like all clean cut and no tattoos, no beards, nothing.
I'm buying it. This first urban legend is something from recent years, and I've never heard about this. But the more I read the story, the more enamored I was. And the more I thought to myself, man, we can make a full episode out of this. There was a lot of people that had experiences with the bus to nowhere or the wandering bus. And this article is from Cindy Parmeter. She was a contributor to this website. It says Philadelphia Southeastern Pennsylvania Transit Authority, which in Dayton, where we live, it's called the RTA or the Regional Transit Authority. But wherever your local bus service is in the city you live in, but the PSPTA boasts over 1,000 buses that service the metropolitan area. The impressive fleet shuttles passengers to and from hundreds of destinations throughout the city on any given day. Only one, however, provides a chosen few a new lease on life.
Oh.
So this is a bit of a bus of reckoning, kind of trying to, I guess, right your wrongs that you've committed in your life. It's said that the bus that leads to emotional salvation only appears to those trapped in the clutches of dark despair. Some, if not all, of these tortured souls are so despondent that they don't know if they can make it through another day. It's only when they reach this level of hopelessness that the fate steps in to offer them one last chance for redemption. This sounds like the Jesus bus,
man,
for sure.
Man, it does.
The wandering bus, as it's sometimes known as, appears from out of nowhere and returns to parts unknown upon completion of its route. Although it can show up just about anywhere, it is most often spotted in the areas of West Powelton, the Center City, Passyunk, what a stupid name for a city,
Passyunk,
Haverford, and Dauphin. The vehicle it sports very little in the way of identifying markings. The LCD marquee inside of the bus is completely blank. No routes, streets, or destinations are displayed, even though the public transport's SEPTA logo features prominently on the side of the bus. It is not listed on any official company manifest or transit maps. The driver, who never allows his face to be seen, seems to sense exactly who is in need of assistance. After honing in on a likely candidate, he drives by them once as if to gauge their worthiness. Upon seeing it for the first time, those for whom the bus is intended know instinctively that help has arrived. Those who see the bus but choose to ignore it never get another chance to back on the wandering bus. The man behind the wheel doesn't stop on the initial go-around. At that stage, his goal is only to make his presence known. If the dejected soul wishes to board the bus, he or she must wave it down and ask to be allowed inside. If permission is granted, the doors open, allowing them to step into a place where they will be forced to face their demons head on.
Scary.
I've got this really uncomfortable I'll finish the story.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
As they board, an automated voice announces the name of the intersection from which the person was picked up. No mention is made of where the ride will end up. No fare is required. Some former passengers say that they offered whatever change they had on hand, while others paid nothing. The driver stares straight ahead, refusing to engage with new arrivals. He simply motions for them to take a seat before departing to a place known only to him. Is your hair like standing up a little bit?
Yeah, it's weird.
The bus is deathly quiet. Those already on board seemingly absorbed in their own inner struggle. So there's a lot of people on the bus when you get on. Once seated, the journey begins. Those who retained memories of what happened next recalled almost immediately falling into a deep state of reflection. During this period of soul searching, the events that led them to the point of despair are dissected one by one. Every possible scenario and outcome plays out in the recess of their minds. It is only when they realize where they went wrong in their life that they gain the ability to leave regret behind and move forward. So you go on this bus, the wandering broken soul. Maybe you've done a lot of wrongs. Maybe you've got reached a point where you're at the rock bottom and you have nowhere else to go. You feel like you've reached your last day on earth, but boarding this bus gives you a chance to reflect upon all the decisions you made in your life to put you in that situation. The ride lasts for hours with no one speaking. Sometimes the ride is described to have lasted for years.
Oh, geez.
Some of those that have been on this trip. It depends on how long it takes for you to right your wrongs. That kind of determines how long the length of the ride is. So in your mind, when this plays out, if it takes you 2 years of sitting on this bus to reflect upon all the bad decisions you've made in your life that have made you put you in a bad situation or made you a bad human, then it takes 2 years on the bus before you get off. If you do it in 2 days, then it takes 2 days. Riders say they know the bus is moving, so when they're on the bus, they can feel the bus rolling down the road, but they can see nothing on the outside world. It's almost like it's completely absorbed, like the skylights at fucking Marion's where you used to work at. It's always daylight in that
it
bitch.
Is, yeah.
Yeah, but that's how it is on this bus as well.
Fucks you up when you walk outside and it's pitch black.
Yeah. You know you reach the end of the bus ride when you can see the outside city lights start to flicker in the distance. Some say that they are dropped off at the events that preceded their downward spiral. So that first time the needle went into your arm, or the first time you beat your spouse, or whatever you did that started the downward spiral of your life, you get dropped off right before that moment takes place. And it gives you the opportunity to redo everything, almost like a time travel type thing. It's really fucking trippy, man.
Yeah, that's wild.
Some recall nothing about the ride at all. Some are so broken during this ride that it's just a moment of realization. It's just a deep moment of reflection. I guess that's the intentions of the ride. And some people that get on the bus, you know, when you're riding the bus, you can pull the cable or the string to let the bus driver know that you need to get off. In fact, some people will actually do this on the wandering bus, and it will end their ride soon. The bus driver will oblige and immediately let them off the bus, but leaving them, when he does drop them off, they're still completely physically and emotionally as they were found before they got on the bus. If you got on a broken soul full of sadness and despair, when you pull the cord to get off, you're still going to be...
Leave the same way?
Yeah, you're going out the same way you got on. And some people refer to it as bus zero. This bus has actually been reported all over the northeastern states at this point. Lots of people have claims to have rode this bus in New York, Chicago. There's all different places... Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, lots of places where people have encountered this wandering bus, this bus to nowhere. And I have this, I don't know, this is more of like an uplifting type urban legend. Not necessarily a kill him, stab him, chop him up urban legend.
Mm-hmm.
But this is certainly something that's pretty cool, man. I think it's a really cool story. And I have this, I don't know, for my entire life, just what happens in the middle of the night in these big cities, how you can be lost in the mix so easily. And I think Dayton is not a big city by any means.
Yeah, and I would say it is.
You don't really get, if you ride the bus at night, something fucking weird happens.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are somebody else is going to experience it with you, because there's just, I guess in the... the state of New York or there in Philadelphia, when you're on a public transit, like you can get on the subway or the bus system, and these things are so big.
Right,
but you're just there. It's like you're a drop in the ocean. Whereas in
probably going to see 15 weird fucking things each time you get on one of these.
Yeah, and but then you run the opportunity of there's a chance of having a lot more people around, but then you also run the opportunity of kind of just being there alone in the moment with just being lost in the sea of people in such a big city like that. Because if 3:30 in the morning, how many people are riding public transit? I don't know. I've never been to New York City and rode the subways or the buses, if they have buses. I assume they have buses in New York City. My entire life, I've always had the heebie-jeebies about what happens in the middle of the night in the big cities. And, I guess the amount of people dealing with mental health issues and,
involved in drug activity.
Just a lot of people that don't necessarily act like your normal run-of-the-mill people that you would meet at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at a bagel shop.
Sure, yeah.
And I have some people that are kind of experiencing some things that are kind of out of this world, But then how many of those people are actually really going through something? But then how many of those people are kind of like of a fucking supernatural nature, some experiencing some kind of paranormal phenomena, And it's always giving me the fucking creeps, man, about the shit that happens in the middle of the night in the big cities. So now I want to ride the subway in New York City in the middle of the night just so I can see what the fuck is going on. But the subways are nasty, bro.
I feel like you have to do some time on the midnight subway to be a true New Yorker.
You got
to
eat pizza and jerk off on the subway.
You're not accepted by them unless you're like eating drunk pizza eating pizza while you're drunk on the subway.
It's such a... It's cool, man. I love it.
It maybe fought a couple like homeless people or something.
I want to do that too. I've done that. I think I've done that actually.
Not in New York.
No. Those are different kinds of bums.
Oh yeah, they're like super strong.
This next one is called. I'll let Rob tell you about this.
Okay. Excuse me. Don't answer the phone. That's what it's called.
Yeah. This
let
is.
Let me whip my cocksucker.
Let's
real quick.
Get a little bit more of the scary. Scary side of things here. There's
yeah, it does. I'm ready.
Tell me about it.
Late one night, a babysitter was by herself downstairs after putting the children to bed. The phone rang. Thinking it might be the children's parents, she answered it. It's really fucked up. Instead of identifying themselves, the caller merely breathed heavily into the phone for a few moments. She hung up, but the phone rang again. The babysitter answered it, only to hear the same breathing, followed by laughter. I like that. I think I would stick on the line for that.
Yeah, laughs like Mr. Krabs.
The babysitter was alone in the house with the children and frightened, so she called the operator. This is how long ago this was.
Wow.
So she calls the operator to ask where the call, or if the call, that call could be traced. Now, when it rang a third time, she heard the same breathing and laughter as before when the call when the caller hung up. There you go. The operator called back almost immediately, frightening the babysitter by telling her that the call was coming from inside the house. The babysitter ran outside while the operator called the police. When they arrived, they discovered a man had murdered the children and was waiting to murder the babysitter if she came upstairs.
Oh, spooky. That's fucking. That's why I don't babysit kids. People call me all the time. They say, "Will you babysit my kids?" And I'll say, "Fuck your kids. I'm not falling for this shit." We don't have operators to save our asses anymore.
Not anymore.
Can you call operators anymore?
I don't know. Call collect. 1-800-COLLECT. See if that's still a thing.
I'll just call zero right now.
Yeah, see. Just automatically just call 911.
If this is an emergency, hang up and dial 911.
It's not.
For directory assistance, hang up and dial 411. For difficulty making or completing calls, hang up and dial star.
Call Joe Biden.
For alternate billing of a call, hang up and dial 1-800-COLLECT.
There you go, 1-800-COLLECT, man.
That was zero. So I remember, and I used to do this sometimes when I was a kid. You could call, you could dial zero, and you would get an operator, and the operator would say, "How may I direct your call?" You say, "Give me the fucking Waffle House on Needmore."
Yep.
And you call, and you say, "How many drunk bastards you got in there? I'm trying to get in there and get some waffles." And they say, hey, sweet thing, we're pretty cleared up right now. You come on and get your fucking waffle, fat ass. I cruise on up there on my bike. My mongoose, my candy apple blue mongoose,
mm-hmm.
got stolen out of the driveway by a crackhead in Northridge, Ohio.
We were literally just telling our kids the other day about how every time you wanted to go see a movie, you had to call, figure out the movie times, figure out what was playing.
Yeah.
Because they don't put that shit out on the sign anymore.
Even the technology of streaming, our kids, my kids, have never experienced going to a movie rental place.
Yeah.
Picking up a physical copy.
That was the best part, man.
Friday nights were lit.
You know how many movies I saw just from the box cover, like the box art?
Yeah.
It's like a lost science anymore, like
it,
now.
It very much so, and my dad was about that shit. He was, you know... my dad never drank beer, smoked pot with me, which I really regret that.
Still time.
Wish he would have done that stuff with me. But he would always take us Friday night, and he would get us a video game or a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I got an extra good report card. He'd get me a video game and a movie. Yeah. So I could play some fucking Sega. And the only VCR in the house was in the living room. And his ass was watching Pulp Fiction or some shit like that.
Such a good movie.
So then I'd have to lay in their bed and watch their VCR. They always had a big old fat porno in the VCR I'd have to take out before I put Forrest Gump in. I'd have to take out fucking...
One of them homemade
Linda
ones?
Loveless. Texas Titty Twister 5000, whatever. I'd take that big old bitch out of there. And it was like the Titanic. It was like the four... he paid a lot of money for this pornographic because it was... One of them four version copies, you know, it comes
it's like
in
the
like
encyclopedia of porn.
Yeah. Not to take that out of the VCR. You come in and be like, what you watching? Forrest Gump? Did you watch that other movie? No. I know you didn't. Something wrong with you.
You're watching Forrest Hump, don't lie.
Forrest Hump.
Just a crippled guy having sex.
Oh, Jenny. Forrest Hump. Oh, your mama sure does care about your schooling, boy. Guys, for the better part of their lives, our better halves have been fantasizing about the perfect wedding ring, cut, clarity, carat, color, you name it. For us, not so much. And jewelry stores clearly think the same thing. I mean, after all, who really cares about a guy's band, right? Well, Manly Bands does, and they're here to rescue you from an otherwise hellish band buying experience. Manly Bands offers your hand the freedom to look how you want it in just about every type of earthly material imaginable, and even from space, from space, from space. Manly Bands was kind enough to send me a ring. I got the Buffalo model. It's black tungsten with mahogany wood inlay and a brushed finish. This thing is comfortable. It oozes machismo. It is very manly. This is an awesome looking ring, and the look is absolutely stunning. I could not be happier. To get started, just download the Manly Ring Sizer from Manly Bands to ensure that your ring will fit perfectly during work and play. Once you know your size, it's time for the fun part. Manly Bands has an insane selection of materials to choose from. Gold, wood, antler, steel, dinosaur bone, and even the meteorites that killed them. You can also choose from curated collections like the Jack Daniel's Whiskey Barrel Collection. Yes, wood from the whiskey barrels. And if you're feeling even more creative, you can customize your band from scratch, choosing the style, material, inlay, sleeve, and finish. Once you've selected your band, Manly Bands offers free shipping worldwide, a 30-day exchange policy, and a free warranty. Statistics show there's only a 50% chance of your marriage actually working out. There's a 100% chance that you're going to love your new wedding band. To order your Manly Band and get 21% off plus a free silicone ring, go to manlybands.com/brohio. That's manlybands.com/brohio for 21% off. Manly Bands, the best damn rings, period. It's time to talk about food again. HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get fresh pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your front doorstep. Skip the trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit. Fall is busy, busy, busy around here, but HelloFresh recipes save time you'd otherwise spend meal planning, shopping, and chopping so you can get back to what matters. HelloFresh's family-friendly menu is a big win for back-to-school season with easy, delicious recipes for drama-free dinners. And the fall harvest is on at HelloFresh. They've got things like pumpkin cinnamon rolls and Friendsgiving ready sides, as well as fresh, high-quality ingredients that travel from straight from the farm to your front door in less than a week. Just a couple nights ago, I had the cherry balsamic sirloin. We whipped it up super fast. It was absolutely filling, absolutely smacked me right in the taste buds. This stuff was delicious. It was incredible. I cannot recommend it enough. But listen up now, guys. It's time for some free food. Yes, free. No strings attached. Go to HelloFresh.com/Brohio14 and use the promo code Brohio14 for up to 14 free meals, including free shipping. Again, that's HelloFresh.com/Brohio14. You're going to use the promo code Brohio14. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. BetterHelp is one of our favorite companies to endorse because we've had hundreds of Brohio listeners reach out to us to tell us that the help they received from BetterHelp.com changed their life and gave them a better quality of life. Whatever you are dealing with, whether it's stress, anxiety, relationships, anger, depression, grief, self-esteem, I know it can be a little embarrassing going to a doctor's office and sitting in that waiting room, awkwardly waiting for your name to be called. But with BetterHelp, you don't have to go through that awkwardness. It's all done online, and BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can connect in a safe and private online environment that is completely convenient for you. And you can send a message to your counselor anytime. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, all without leaving the comfort of your own couch. And I cannot say this enough. BetterHelp, they're going to help you. Whatever it is you're struggling with inside your head, inside your soul, inside your heart, BetterHelp is going to be able to help you make a difference. And we have a very special promo code if you would like to try BetterHelp. If you do try BetterHelp and it helps you, write us. We'd love to hear about it. But you can go to BetterHelp.com/Brohio. You're going to get some money off of your first month. Go to BetterHelp.com/Brohio and join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health today. Again, guys, go to BetterHelp, HELP.com/Brohio.
Oh, next up we have the clown statue.
Forrest Hump.
I was humping.
Did you have an irrational fear of clowns growing up?
No.
They didn't bother me at all, man.
I listened to ICP growing up, man.
people were fucked up over clowns.
They I never got it, yeah.
And even, you know, about 10 years ago, the clown thing kind of resurfaced with it.
It hit a crescendo.
It did, man.
Clown pranks. Everybody was terrified of killer clowns for a little bit.
That one video that kind of went viral of the guy trying to cross the bridge and the clown was on the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
That felt kind of authentic. Like that dude was about to shit his pussy for real, that clown.
They had all the ones where they would use like the big hammers and like smash the watermelon heads and people would freak out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those guys do some pretty gnarly pranks.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Pretty sure they're dead now.
They are. I hope they are because it's some really mean shit.
Yeah, it was always in the hood, too, so...
What about that guy on TikTok just like throws fucking sand up in the air and then lands on people's heads and he just like turns around and starts staring at them like they threw it? Have you seen that guy?
No, I don't think I have.
He'll go to Lowe's and he'll stand behind like a fucking dude looking to buy supplies to build the goddamn wall right now. And he'll take like a handful of kitty litter or a bucket full of kitty litter and throw it straight up in the air and then it'll land on the dude behind him and the dude behind him will spin around and look at him and he's just like holding the doorknob reading it and he's like, looks at him like he's the one that it's always really good. They're really good pranks. The clown statue, a babysitter. Ooh, another babysitter story.
Yeah.
Got me all fucking worked up now. A babysitter was working one night at a house filled with clown memorabilia.
No thanks.
Yeah, I'm going to need more than 20 bucks for a night. Including multiple statues kept in one room. While the children were playing in this room, the babysitter became aware of a life-sized clown statue sitting in a rocking chair. It was extremely lifelike and appeared to be following them with its eyes as they moved around the room. Finally, the babysitter became concerned by its presence enough to call the parents and request it be removed from the room. Upon hearing its description, the mother ordered the babysitter and children to leave the house immediately and head for the neighbor's home. When they arrived, they spoke again to the mother, who assured them the police were on the way. Apparently, a mentally ill neighbor had been threatening to murder the family.
Ooh.
He dressed as a clown and was laying in wait for them in that room
for hours. Oh, no.
Didn't get him, though.
Ooh, good.
Fucking dumbass.
Good.
What did they say? Apparently, mentally ill neighbor. Yeah, should have shot that motherfucker. They were back. Rob had to go beat his kids via Zoom.
Put the fear of Satan in them.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did you scare him that time?
No.
They thought you were a soft-ass bitch the first time.
They're like, dude, you can't do anything. You're wrong.
You ain't shit.
I know you ain't here.
You'd be like, my fucking fat friend Nick will record this, the rest of it, by himself, and you guys will be shit out of luck.
Yep.
Next one, glass in the fried rice, urban legend.
No.
You ever heard of this one?
No, that terrifies me because I love fried rice.
Oh, my God. Chicken fried rice.
The best.
Egg walls.
The best.
Fried rice. No crab. Crab rangoon.
Ooh, love crab rangoon.
Dude, that stuff, it's delicious. It is fucking delicious.
Yeah.
But there used to be a Chinese restaurant in Northridge where we grew up called Formosa's.
Uh-huh.
Then we went to school with the boys from the family. But that Chinese, the chicken fried rice from that place, oh, God, dude.
Yeah, man.
Stuff enough to snatch your soul up out your body, slap it around, put it back.
Ooh.
That was some good-ass chicken fried rice.
Love some good chicken fried rice.
Yeah, so tell me about the glass and the fried rice.
So a couple had a tradition of ordering Chinese food every Friday night from their favorite local restaurant. One particular Friday night, they ordered their usual, which came with a large order of fried rice.
Oh.
By the middle of the night, they were both overcome with excruciating stomach pain and severe bleeding. The husband became so concerned that he dialed 911 for help.
Wow.
The two ambulances arrived two ambulances arrived, and as they loaded the husband and wife into the vehicles.
God, you're okay.
Sorry.
It was a stroke.
It sounded weird whenever I was reading then I realized what it said.
I was reading loaded baked potato.
As they loaded the husband and wife into the vehicle, they also collected samples of the Chinese food that the couple had eaten the night before. Neither the husband nor the wife made it to the hospital. They both died of internal bleeding en route.
An analysis
of the Chinese food turned up fragments of glass throughout the fried rice. A subsequent inspection of the Chinese restaurant revealed a disgruntled employee had broken a drinking glass, chosen a random batch of fried rice, and then poured tiny glass fragments into the rice. The employee was arrested for the two deaths. Good.
Ooh. And this, most
still eat it.
Normal people would say, and I will never eat fried rice ever again. But I'm here to tell you.
I'll leave here and get it.
I am a man of perseverance.
Yeah.
This will not slow me down. This will do very little to even impede my motion of travel. I will not stop eating fried rice, even if they gave me.
Oops.
That's okay. You set your alarm to get the fuck out of here?
No, call me again.
Yeah. Even if they told me when they gave me the rice, there's glass in this.
Yeah.
I'm still eating it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'll pick around it. You did a good job.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, if it's that transparent of glass, you know, you just deserve to eat it.
Yeah, next one's Resurrection Mary.
This
is a very popular story from Chicago, of all places, I do believe. Resurrection Mary walks up and down the streets past graveyards all over the United States in her prom dress, seeking a ride home. Nasty slut. The original Resurrection Mary legend originated in Chicago in the 1930s. A number of motorists driving down Archer Avenue passed by Resurrection Cemetery and claimed a young woman jumped onto the running boards of their car, only to vanish as abruptly as she had appeared.
Ooh.
There is good chance the legend arose from a real tale of a young woman from the 1930s who had been dancing with a boyfriend at a nearby Chicago ballroom.
Mm.
Unfortunately, the boyfriend was being a bore, so the young woman decided she'd rather brave a walk home in the cold and dark rather than spend another minute with this lout. She was struck by a vehicle and killed while walking along Chicago's Archer Avenue.
According to the legend, she was buried in Resurrection Cemetery in a white dress and dancing shoes.
Aww.
Shortly after the event, reports of her ghostly appearance to passing motorists began to surface. Resurrection Mary sightings in Chicago continue to this day, leading some to believe that Mary is indeed a ghost that walks outside of the Resurrection Cemetery. The story of Mary is a tale told now as an urban legend happening to a friend of a friend driving along an unnamed dark road near an unnamed cemetery.
Ooh.
And you know, sometimes up there in the cemetery, some things be getting a little crazy now. And you sometimes you gotta be calling. You say, "Hey, man, we need to get some security up here in this cemetery." And some people are like, "I got just a dude for you." So they be sending out their dude, Cemetery Terry. And he be sneaking through a cemetery. Terry be sneaking through the cemetery setting. He be setting off booby traps. People be walking up in the cemetery like, "We looking for Resurrection motherfucking Mary." They step on a goddamn booby trap. That motherfucker blow up. Hit him in the face with nipples. Pieces of baloney.
Nipples
hit
everywhere.
Hit him in the face with baloney nipples. All kinds of shit up in them booby traps. Sometimes he be getting that baloney on sale. He'll stuff all them booby traps full of baloney. He won't even be putting nipples in them.
I love baloney.
Some of you boys be walking up in the cemetery looking for, like, "Hey, Cemetery Terry, I'm trying to get a hand job." Cemetery Terry, like, "Hey, I ain't gay, man. I've been in the cemetery doing my job. Security guard, digging holes and shit. Trying to find me a glass of water. Trying to walk around the cemetery. Trying to find people. I got my dick sucked in the cemetery." You ever had your dick sucked in the cemetery? Send us an email, briopodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your story. Did you come? Did you die? Did you fold? What'd you do? Did you go home? Did you cry? Did you laugh? What happened? What happened when you were getting a blowjob in the cemetery? That seems like a really cool place to get a blowjob.
Yeah, it's a spooky one.
I want one in my bed tonight. Damn it. Let's see if it works. I don't think it's going to work. We're back again. Rob had to do another virtual Zoom meeting.
Yep.
It's all right. But this next one, I was reading about this the other day about and I started to do the research on it. Maybe it's something we'll get into, but the Catholic Church abducting children. This isn't necessarily the Catholic Church, but this is a story of, like, phantom social workers abducting children.
Okay.
And I think that, you want to read in this one, or you want me to do it?
No, go. I can do it. Right. I was just making sure my phone volume was turned off so it didn't ring again. All right, so the most upsetting urban myths typically involve children, and England's phantom social worker phenomenon is a prime example. The legend began in the 1990s when the British newspaper started reporting on unidentified men posing as social workers and taking children from their homes for an evaluation, in quotes.
I went on one of those evaluations once.
According to legend, one man who would be accompanied by several women would masquerade as...
Let me scroll down for you.
A social worker. Okay, that's a lot less intimidating. He would enter and inspect homes for safety and examine children for signs of abuse, and then whisk the children away, never to be seen again. The urban myth spawned such hysteria that it spurred local law enforcement in South Yorkshire to create a task force to investigate the claim in 1990. The so-called Operation Childcare received more than 250 reports of this type of abduction as a result, though only two proved to be valid. One of those was the report of Anne Wiley, who claimed that a woman pretending to be a social worker suddenly appeared at her home after her 20-month-old son had been hospitalized for asthma. The woman had no identification and was accompanied by a man waiting outside. Suspicious. Wiley demanded more information. The strange woman placed her son's medical records on the table. But after the couple left, Wiley was able to confirm that they weren't social workers after all. Despite this chilling account, in its 4 years as an active task force, Operation Childcare didn't make a single arrest.
Good job, guys. Keep up the good fucking work.
It's a good fucking rating. Bums. Instead, authorities blamed the press for hyping a small, legitimate problem into a large-scale paranoia that then spawned an urban legend.
Oh, wow. That happens?
No, never. Yeah. Nonetheless, there were at least two groups of individuals who abducted children by posing as social workers. Authorities believed that these were vigilantes who also... Wait. Yeah.
Vigilantes are believed that
it was their duty to protect children from abuse in the wake of a major child abuse scandal in the 1980s. I don't know why whenever it's this far away, I always fuck up which line I'm going to.
Yeah,
next.
It's hard. I gotta fix our computers here.
It's cool. The scandal involved pediatricians Marietta Higgs and Geoffrey Watt. I always hate if your parents spelled your name, if your name's Jeffrey and your parents spelled your name Geoffrey, slap them, please.
And if you were the giraffe in the Toys R Us store and you're down, I know you're hard up, dude.
Hey,
I know you're going through some shit.
They are. Did you see they're bringing them back?
No, for what?
You were so pissed. They're like, they're bringing back Toys R Us and like they're putting them in like Kohl's or something.
Fucking stupid.
Yeah, they merged with another department store.
That's sad, man. We lost Toys R Us.
Yeah.
Still hurts.
That meme that I saw still fucking hurts my heart, whereas like I guess all the Toys R Us kids are too big now or whatever the fuck it said. Yeah. Like or all have all grown up and I'm like, oh god, that's so sad.
Yeah, man.
That's what you get for charging $43 for a fucking
Power Ranger.
Right. You can go to Walmart and buy one for like 3 shekels.
You think Jeffrey goes by Jeff now and he works at a call center somewhere?
He just fucking hates his life. He's a giraffe on meth. It's a methed out giraffe.
I wonder if you could move me. I can't see the LED board out there. The giraffe's head is in the way. The new guy, Jeff.
So the scandal involved pediatricians Marietta Higgs and Geoffrey Watt. That's Watt, but I'm saying Watt. The two doctors had developed a diagnostic test to detect sexual abuse in children, which involved probing the area around the child's anus.
They obviously had some shit wrong with them.
yeah. Naturally, this traumatized more subjects than it saved. Naturally so.
My doctor got one of those apparatuses stuck inside of me when I was a young boy. I told you about that big old meaty piss flap I have in the last episode, too.
Yeah, you did. So dozens of children were referred to as Middlesbrough Hospital as a result, with a record 24 children being admitted in one day.
God damn.
In total, they had removed 121 children from their homes and incorrectly identified 94 of them as abuse victims. It's no wonder that in 1991, a year after the phantom social worker scare, that legislators implemented the Children Act, which enforced strict regulations for social workers. At least this urban myth spawned positive real life action. 94 out of 121. Ouch.
A fucking butt swab thing shoved up inside of him. Jesus, man. I don't want none of that, dude.
No.
Man. And I was reading about I guess it's a conspiracy theory about the Catholic Church. They used to abduct kids, man.
Oh, yeah.
They used to just fucking take kids. And there's a lot more to that story. I guess it's not directly linked to this, but kind of along the same lines. Just some really weird shit going on there in the fucking, is that the Westerns? No, Eastern, the Eastern side of the world. Yeah, Eastern.
Wild, man.
This next one. This is an urban legend.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I never heard about this one before.
I know all about this one, yeah. It's fucking weird.
Squidward suicide.
Yeah.
And I didn't really become a SpongeBob came along probably right as we started to get hair on our peaches.
Yeah.
And I never watched SpongeBob growing up at all. I had a girlfriend, her younger sister watched it. It was on a lot.
Yeah.
I never really thought much of it. But now that I'm older, I appreciate the shit out of it, man.
Hell yeah. It came into be as the glory age of Nickelodeon was fading.
Yeah, it did.
So
it helped him hang on, though.
It brought in the new wave of TV, of cartoons, of Nicktoons.
For sure.
There's still nothing that beats, you know, the 90s cartoons, but I mean, like, they had some good ones.
Yeah, SpongeBob still got some off-color humor that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's good for grown-ups, too, but
there's still so many good jokes in SpongeBob.
There is.
And I fucking hate, like, every single time I see the one episode where it's Patrick SpongeBob and Squidward, and I'm gonna go over this. This is fucking stupid, but it's the one joke where I think SpongeBob says, someone says that Squidward's claustrophobic, and he says, "What's claustrophobic?" And he says, "It's when you're afraid of Santa Claus." And then Patrick goes, "Ho ho ho!" And then SpongeBob says, "Stop, Patrick! You're scaring him." It's so stupid. It's fucking stupid. Hilarious.
That's perfect.
He says, "Ho ho ho!" trying to scare him. Ah, man, it's so stupid.
You gotta watch that one high, man. That yeah. seems like the key to that.
Yeah, and the famous chocolate woman. I don't know if you saw that one where they're selling chocolate bars.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it's just
yeah,
a woman
yeah.
on just
yeah.
a fucking brainstem. Chocolate! He's selling chocolate!
I feel like you've seen all of them. I've seen a lot of them.
Yeah. My wife was like low-key obsessed whenever we first started dating, so it was yeah. like, I ran the middle of those shows.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good times.
I didn't know about this one. Because no urban legend will ruin your childhood memories quite like Squidward's suicide. Mm. This story, spoken from the perspective of a former Nickelodeon intern, tells of a lost, unaired episode of the children's show SpongeBob SquarePants, in which main character Squidward gets depressed and kills himself with a shotgun. Fuck, man. Though Squidward's suicide was first posted on 7chan in 2010, the story didn't start picking up serious internet traction until the summer of 2011. It was then that a YouTuber by the name of Mr. Creepypasta decided to upload of a reading of the urban legend, a reading which currently has more than 1.3 million views on YouTube.
That's really not shit.
A few months afterward, YouTuber Bolero uploaded a similar narration, and to date, his has more than 1.1 million views.
Yeah, it's the art style that they even used, I remember, from the mock drawings of what it's really fucking weird. It's like it's real dark, and I mean, obviously it's bullshit, but I mean, still, it's.
I wonder why they did that. Maybe just a laugh or whatever it was they're trying to accomplish. I don't know why they would have done that.
They obviously wouldn't have been able to air it. I mean,
SpongeBob, you got that big bargaining chip when you're SpongeBob for Nickelodeon.
Yeah, I mean, like South Park and The Simpsons have killed off characters, but not a shotgun blast to the face Nickelodeon.
Now that I'm thinking of this, Universal Studios, I'm thinking of this right now. Mm-hmm. So round trip tickets from here to Orlando are $60 from Cincinnati right now.
What?
Yep. And right around the time of your birthday, mm-hmm. that weekend, mm-hmm. we're talking about just taking the weekend and going to Orlando, Universal Studios, the Harry Potter, Potter World and all
yes,
that.
Yes, please.
Just Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Get down there Friday morning, $60 round trip.
It's nothing.
And then tickets are like be $400 for 2 days or something like that.
Cool.
So if you guys are fucking interested.
I'm sure we will be.
I would love to take you to Potter World for your birthday.
That'd be great. I'd definitely take you up on that.
We could get a fucking magic wand.
I've been trying to go for the past 3 times we've been, but I always get voted, outvoted.
We could get our wives so drunk they pass out and they wouldn't know what we were doing in the hotel room. Like if we were playing if we were playing video games or just like ordering room service without their permission.
Yeah, it'd be sweet.
Fuck them.
And then fighting them on it after the fact. Yeah. Like, no, we did not order that.
We'll physically get on top of them and fight them after. Like, you ordered this fucking room service?
Beat the shit out of Mickey Mouse.
Slapping with my titties. Put on rompers and just beat them with our titties.
Oh, man, I got to get a romper.
Hugging Molly. I never heard her. Yeah. Tell me about Hugging Molly.
Molly Holly. You might think her name sounds nice. Everyone needs a hug from time to time. Not from this Molly. Generations of people from Alabama, just all you got to say, man, have grown up with this creepy legend. Got to get some spoons. Yeah. They say she is a giant ghost, at least 7 foot tall.
God damn, old bitch.
That's a big old bitch.
A swamp donkey.
Who wanders the streets of Abbeville, Alabama. Late at night, she can be seen dragging her long black skirt as she goes. If you see her, run. Because if she sees you, she will chase you, and she will get you.
She's 7 foot tall, dude. She's catching my frumpy ass.
This bitch is like, her strides are like, yeah, you don't want to mess with that. Yeah. Once she does, she picks you up with her huge arms, gives you the tightest hug of your life while screaming in your ear. That would just piss me off, man. It's like, ow!
Why?
They say the horrible sound never leaves you. There have been no reports of Hugging Molly ever killing someone, or there have been no reports, but her attacks are enough to strike fear into the hearts of everyone around.
I'm not that scared.
So it can't kill you, but there's just some real big woman hugging people in the fucking parks. Dude, in Alabama,
if some 7 foot tall woman just comes up to me and tries to hug me, I'm whacking her regardless, because I know that she's trying to hurt me.
Yeah.
Because that's what giants do. They try and hurt you.
And grind your bones to make the bread.
I would immediately defend myself, even if it's hugging Molly or fucking squeezing Stacy. I don't care who it is. Slapping the shit out of him.
Hugging Molly.
She sounds hot.
Yeah. What do you think she looks like?
Not good.
Like Fiona in ogre form?
Yeah, let's see what she looks like. Hugging Molly.
You have to have an artist rendering. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, dude. She looks like the fucking nun from...
terrifying.
She looks like the nun from The Conjuring, or whatever the fuck that is. Oh, hell nah.
Yeah, man, I'm good.
Look at them long-ass, lanky arms.
Hugging Molly.
No, thanks. She looks like a fucking wraith.
Dude, that's scary.
Like a fucking dementor.
let me bring it up for the YouTubers real quick.
Yeah.
Scene 2.
She just looks like a Harry Potter dementor. Yeah.
Jesus, fucking scary looking, guys.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like it
at all. And she got those big-ass fucking mud-stomping shoes.
Ball kickers.
Yeah.
I got my ball kickers on.
She got them Stone Cold Steve Austin mud stompers.
Mountain 316. WWE needs him right now. AEW's passing their asses.
They need
up.
Something, man.
Need something. The Devil Man of Algiers. Is that
Algiers?
Algiers?
Okay. Maybe.
Algiers is the oldest neighborhood in New Orleans.
Nolens.
This story dates back to 1938 when reports of a man terrorizing couples spread around the city. When asked to describe the man, some details were disputed, but one thing everyone agreed on was that this man was undoubtedly, categorically, the devil. He was described as having eyes like a chicken.
Just fucking blank eyes.
He was described as having the eyes like a chicken with bright pink star-shaped ears and long black horns.
Weird.
He also rode on thin air and shape-shifted while announcing himself as the devil.
He's like fucking changing forms every 2 seconds.
I'm the devil!
I am the devil.
The most common reports involved him terrorizing bars, attacking women, and appearing before local couples. People who saw the devil man say they always felt a sense of oncoming death or dread, and that they even saw their lives flash in front of their eyes. Perhaps the scariest story came from a young couple. They said as they were traveling home one evening, a strange person tried to stop their car. They slowed the car and asked what he wanted. He asked for a ride to a nearby town. The couple felt uncomfortable, so they politely refused. Later, as they drove down the highway, they saw the same man walking along the same side of the road. They drove past him, but after just 10 minutes, there he was again, walking by the side of the road. Again, he asked them to stop and requested a ride, and again they refused. When they saw him again, he changed into the devil before their very eyes. They sped off again, but then there he was, this time riding a brown horse. They rushed to tell the police. This is scary,
this
man.
This is fucking crazy.
This is really scary.
It's like something different every sentence.
They rushed to tell the police, who went to investigate. When he didn't, they fired shots into him.
Ooh.
He jumped off the horse and sprayed the bullets back at them, laughing and rubbing his hairy hands together. He was brought to jail, where he quickly slipped out of his cell and into New Orleans legend.
Why's he got to have hairy hands? He's been beating it too much.
Y'all wonder why I'm so mad out here. It's because I got these big old hairy dick beaters. You ever try to beat off with hairy hands?
Oh my God, dude, that would be fucking rough.
I used
literally
to have bear paw gloves, and I would beat off with those. That felt really nice. Because we were polar bears in high school.
Yeah, we were.
Feel really nice to beat off with those polar bear mittens.
Which is a good, that's a good mascot. I still appreciate that.
I just think it's funny they still wear those gloves.
Yeah.
They still use them. I did beat off with those once in the library.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went to a Dragons game a couple days ago, and they played a fucking, I think it was a team from Lansing, Michigan. They were called the Lugnuts.
The Lansing Lugnuts, yeah, man.
I was like, of all the fucking, like, that's a shitty mascot to have. Like,
well, the thing is, with minor league baseball teams, the weirder the better. So
yeah, gimmicky.
Yeah, there's a lot of places that have some, there's like Mud Dogs and
like the Hens. There's all kinds of really cool.
Hens is a fucking weird one, yeah, too.
Really cool minor league. And the Lugnut, Lansing Lugnuts, Michigan.
Yeah, it makes sense, but Lugnuts is. I thought that was a fucking funny. Yeah. I was like, the Lugnuts.
That's a hobby I've wanted to take up is collecting minor league baseball caps. Yeah. And I've never done it because it's a fucking expensive hobby.
Oh, yeah.
But there's lots of cool mascots out there.
Yeah. It's just so strange because it's always like supposed to be something like fierce and like. Yeah. It's just an inanimate object, the fucking Lugnut.
Lugnut.
It's so random.
Yeah. I think this is the last one. This is the story of the baby blue.
The baby blue.
This is all you, Rob Dog.
Okay. A group of young girls found out about the baby blue story and decided to try it out. When the girls were alone at night, they pushed one of her friends into the bathroom. She did not believe it would work, so she turned out the lights and locked the door behind her. She put out her arms and started chanting the phrase, baby blue. Blue baby, I'm sorry. Wait, what? Blue baby, baby blue. As longer she was singing, her arms felt heavier and heavier. That doesn't sound like it was sentenced right.
Sentence right? Yeah. No, that wasn't either.
She really started to have the feeling a baby was in her arms and felt some light scratching on her arms. Yet, no fucking thanks. She was so scared, she did not know what to do. She froze up and stood there holding the invisible baby as it grew heavier. Suddenly, she saw something horrible in the mirror and she screamed. Her friends did hear the scream, thus they tried to open the bathroom door, however, it was locked. The young girls tried to open the door, but it did not work.
Well, they probably needed that 7-foot-tall bitch, the big one of the fucking nut kickers.
Fiona, the girl in the bathroom was screaming and screaming, so the girls ran to the neighbor's house to get help. The neighbor broke the door open, and they found the girl lying dead on the floor.
Goddamn badass invisible baby.
Her eyes had been scratched out. They tried to move her body, but they could not move her because something large and invisible was pinning her to the ground.
Big fucking baby, dude.
It's a big ass baby. So you want me to do this?
Yeah, if you want to play the baby blue game at home, yeah. We have just the right thing for you.
That's how you do it. So the legend of the baby blue baby is about to about a strange game. That's
baby
so
blue,
stupid.
Baby blue baby
is about a strange game. The strange game these kids play. It's caused a ghostly infant to appear in your arms and then scratches you. We shall start. Who does not love a cute baby with beautiful blue eyes? But not all of the babies are so cute. This is fucking written by an idiot.
My 4-year-old. Me.
As there are many versions of Bloody Mary legend, there are also some variations like Candyman, Lady in White, and Baby Blue. To play Baby Blue, you have to go into the bathroom on your own.
Take a shit.
Turn off the lights. Close the door. Look into the mirror with your arms out like you were holding a baby. Repeat the words, baby blue, blue baby, 13 times.
Can someone please, from the closed 13. Group, do this in the bathroom for us and record it, or anyone that wants to record themselves doing this and send it to us. I would love to see what happens.
Baby blue, blue baby, 13 times.
That's a lot of baby blues.
That's a lot of baby blue, blue baby. Oh, man. If you make no mistakes, good fucking luck, you will feel the weight of a baby in your arms.
Oh,
it's a baby.
I'm gonna eat ya.
You will also have the feeling that you are really holding a baby. The baby will get heavier as it grows larger and larger. You will suddenly feel scratching on your arms. Newborn babies have sharp nails, and you will feel them scratching your arms.
The big old bastard tomcat baby with a big fucking fat head.
Before the baby is getting too heavy, you must drop the invisible baby into the toilet and flush it 2 times. That's a courtesy flush for you uncultured fucks. Then you have to
big goddamn baby.
Then you have to run out of the bathroom as soon as possible. That's what I do when I shit. Yeah. If you don't do it fast enough, a hideous woman will appear in the mirror. She will yell, "Give me back my baby."
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back, baby back.
Chili's. That's a good one. Yeah. And scream so loud that the mirror will break. If you are still holding the baby will scratch you until it hits an artery so you bleed to death.
Goddamn.
Or the woman kills you when you're still in the bathroom.
You fucked up. You should have already done flush the fucking baby.
Double flush.
Blue baby, baby, blue baby, baby, baby. I can't do it. No. I could not do it. I would fuck that up so many times. 13 times.
That's a lot. That's a lot of blue baby, baby, blue.
Let's see if I can do it.
I want my baby blue, blue baby, baby, blue, blue baby.
Baby blue, blue baby. Baby blue, blue baby. Baby blue, blue baby. Baby blue, blue baby. Baby blue, blue baby. Baby blue, blue baby. Baby blue, blue baby. Baby blue, blue baby.
You're doing good.
Baby blue, blue baby. Baby blue, blue baby. Baby blue, blue baby. I fucked it up.
Did you?
Baby blue, blue baby. That was 13, right?
That was 12.
Baby blue, blue baby.
Okay. I may have miscounted, so you may have done 14, buddy.
I'm waiting. I feel nothing. If I do feel something, I'm flushing that fucker 2 times.
There isn't a mirror here, but technically there is a camera, so I mean, if you were looking into the camera,
what if we go? Mirrored. What if we roll back that beautiful bean footage and there's a big fucking retarded baby behind us?
That would
with
shit.
A big head and claws.
Dude, that'd shit.
Yeah, I'd leave it down here.
I'd flush it twice.
I'd feed it and shit. I'd feed it fucking Pringles. Like, you have to eat all these chips, just poop in the can. That's what it's for. If you've ever shit in a Pringles can, send us an email, brohiopodcast@gmail.com.
Hopefully you filled the fucker up, too, if you did.
You think you could fill a Pringles can full of poop?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt, especially if I've had a couple, like, cups of coffee and like a hefty meal.
Some dude at work the other day was like, I got 2 funny stories.
Oh, yeah.
He said, how long do you think it'd take you to fill up a gallon milk jug full of poop? Just out of nothing. They were talking about something, but they looked over and they asked me, he said, how long would it take you to fill up a gallon milk jug full of poop? And I said, oh, I could probably, I'd say over a week. It'd take me about a week to fill that up.
An afternoon.
Yeah. 2 days. A bed and breakfast. Oh, but this morning, so I have to, I just started installing the invisible fence for the new dog.
Yeah, I saw the flags out there.
And she's smart, but I haven't quite got her trained for that yet. So
yeah.
Every time she has to go outside, we take her out on a leash. Like good owners, you just don't take her out and let her fucking run around.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the godly thing, taking her out there, walking her around.
Yeah.
But the problem is, the leash is like 6 feet long. And every time I get to my deck stairs, which are super steep, the Bruce, the guy who licked his penis and come to my face.
Mm-hmm.
I've told that story before.
Yep.
This dog looked me right in the eye and he come in the middle of the night looking, staring right at me. Long story, but he always jumps right in front of me. So then Pepper starts to go down the steps and then Bruce gets between me and Pepper. So all I have is this, I'm holding the leash and Bruce is between me and the dog. And so I get up, I almost tripped up and nearly fall down the goddamn steps.
Man.
This morning, right before I was about to leave for work, I got all dressed up. I'm wearing my work clothes right now. I'm
looking fancy now.
And she went out, she pooped, she peed, good dog, gave her a treat. We started to come right back in, and she pooped right before we came up the steps. So we get to the steps, and she starts to go up the steps, and I'm kind of running a little bit behind for work, so I kind of shoot up the steps after her. And she stops on the steps to start smelling stuff, because she's a puppy, she stops to smell everything.
Mm-hmm.
But when I stop, I kneed her in the butt, just kind of like hit her in the butt, and she kind of made her jump, and she shot up the steps, and nothing more of it. She went inside. She did a good job. Took the leash off of her. I'm like, come on, sweetie. We got to go. I take my oldest daughter to school. We start to roll out. We sit down in the car, and I'm like, you stepped in fucking dog shit. She said, I haven't been outside. I said, show me your shoes. Because I immediately think it's not my problem.
Sure, yeah.
She shows me her shoes, no dog shit. I said, you've sat in dog shit.
Did you shit?
I immediately start going through the scenario of how did my child somehow attach poop to her body?
Are you hoarding dog shit?
There's dog shit in your backpack. Then I started like, you know, she's like, I didn't step in dog poop. I'm like, you set your backpack in dog shit. I'm starting, trying to... do this equation in my head.
Yeah.
And she's like, did you step in dog poop? And I said, no, I did not step in dog poop. Hold on a second. I lift my shoes up. I'm like, no. But like, as I'm lifting my shoes up, I can smell the intense smell of dog shit. And I'm nearly to the point of fucking gagging and just calling in sick because I cannot kick the smell of dog shit. And then finally, I'm wearing I was wearing like khakis or whatever. I looked down, and from where I kneed her in the butt,
you're
going up
fucking
the steps,
real Jake from State Farm over here.
When I'm going, yeah, khakis.
Khakis.
When I looked down at my pants, from where I kneed her in the butt when I was going up the steps,
big fucking mud dumpling on your fucking
had a big old fucking fruit stripe on my knee. Big fucking racing stripe on my kneecap. And it had some substance to it, buddy. It was not a little stain or smear. This, I fucking rear ended a dingleberry for sure. So she definitely did not have all the poop out when I kneed her in the butt. Oh, and as shit. Soon as I saw that, I was like, and then
my knee looked like the top of a fucking cupcake.
My daughter said, "You're going to have to change your pants." Because
not the first time you ever heard that.
I'm a completely irresponsible 33-year-old. I'm barely holding on here. My 12-year-old has got her shit together, and she's pretty smart. And she's getting to the point where she's kind of like momming me like my wife does.
Sure, yeah.
So she'll tell me to like, she'll like remind me to do stuff. And I tell her, shut the fuck up.
She probably already thinks you're senile.
It's like a fucking Alzheimer's or some shit.
Like, mom, we're going to put him in a home in a couple of years.
Yeah. Like, sometimes if she leaves me home with the kids, my wife, not a big deal. I can do it.
Yeah.
My oldest daughter will look at me. She'll say, "You know you have to feed us, right?" I'm like, "I fucking know I have to feed you guys. There's Captain Crunch in there. There's oatmeal cream pies."
Oh, dude.
Oh, another good one. I'm so glad I remember this. This has happened 3 times over the past week. I've gone somewhere with my wife, and my most favorite snack treat, oatmeal, Little Debbie oatmeal cream pies.
Yes, yeah.
And,
the best.
I love them. I dip them in milk, which a lot of people don't know about that life hack.
Never done it before, but
very good life hack. But when we go into gas stations, this is 2 gas stations, 1 grocery store. Each time I get this blank dumb stare in my face and I go find somebody that's working and I say, "Where do you guys keep your Little Debras?"
Little Debras.
You fucking wouldn't believe. I think the guy at the Shell station almost called the cops, dude. I think he thought I was like part of a fucking like some good Epstein Island or some shit like that.
You're like a fucking alien.
Yeah, I kind of like make a lazy eye and cross him a little bit and I say,
"Put me to your closest Little Debras."
You guys keep your Little Debras. But there's this old woman at the other guy, the Speedway. She said, "They what? What? They what?
What?
Your Little Debras, the snack cake?" She said, "The Debbies." She called them the Debbies.
I said, "Yeah, the Debbies.
Little Debras. I know where they're at. Trust me, I know where every Little Debbie is in every fucking gas station.
Where do you keep the Small Debras? Yeah.
Where do you keep the Little Debras?
You gotta start calling them Small Debras. Just so completely throws them off. They're like, "What?"
They what? She hit. That's what she hit. She's like, "What?" She hit the brakes and everything.
She hit the H. Hitting the emphasis on the H.
Yeah, the whole the
what?
What? Yeah. You gotta ask from Little Debras, but you gotta be really fucking weird about it. Where are you guys keeping Little Debras? I asked some teenage kid at Kroger, and he was just like, "I don't know." He was just like,
"Oh, Little Debras."
My wife is so fucking embarrassed, dude.
Whoa. Oh, man. That's good.
You got to start asking for the Little Debras.
Little Debras, I'm about to.
You might get arrested the first time. You just got to be smart with it. Oh, you know, the zebra cakes, the caramel cookie bars, the Star Crunches. Ooh, about them Star Crunches. Is that Little Debra? I don't know.
I don't know.
Who makes Star Crunches? Some people don't even know what a Star Crunch is.
Yeah, my kids are obsessed with iCarly, so they call all the snack cakes, like, they call them fat cakes.
Little Debra, yep. Star Crunches.
Yeah, they call all these things fat cakes.
Fat cakes.
Yeah.
Star Crunches are that shit, though.
I used to love Star Crunches back in the day, man. I used to get those from the vending machine at school.
Yeah, dude. You could
and chocolate, the little chocolate donuts.
2 Little Debras. In a soft drink, you're good for an entire day.
Got your sugar. You're fucking wired. You don't need anything else after that.
Yeah, so
you need to fucking drink Monster, and you got 2 Little Debras and a fucking soda.
You're going to start calling Little Debras now, aren't you?
Little Debras.
Yeah. That's
good.
Oh, good times.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for joining us on this episode of the Bro-io Podcast. You take your ass to the grocery store, ask you for a solid pack of Little Debras, let us report back, let us know how it is. But we really need your questions.
Please.
For the Bro-io Battlefield of Love.
Yes.
Send them in, brohiopodcast@gmail.com. You're almost guaranteed to make the show at this point.
And tell you what, if nothing crazy is going on in your life, I know you have some fucked up friends that have some crazy shit going on in their life. Let us be the mediators between your guys' relationship bickering. Yeah. If you're trying to always give your friends relationship advice and they're not listening to you, give us their story. We'll tell them how they should handle their lives.
Doesn't matter. We'll help you either way.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us.
Love ya.